This is the recording of May 24, 2017, regular Board of Directors meeting to convene at 3 p.m. at the boardroom of Chugach Electric Association at 5601 Electron Drive in Richmond, Alaska.
17, let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody's ready.
We even have a flag.
A Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'll go with roll call. We have in person Directors Crawford. I feel like the table's kind of tilting to that guy. Director Reeves, Director Chastain, and myself. And we will see the other directors when they are here. With that, we'll start with the safety minute.
All right, as we can see, the safety minute is on bicycle safety. In case anyone is curious, that is me in the picture. So if you're going to get this personal
bit. Oh, my.
So, what's the first rule of bicycle safety?
Wear a helmet.
Yeah, I had my helmet on, and it did help, I think. I took an impact on the side of the head. It didn't help my face all that much because I did kind of land there, too, but I think it probably prevented me from getting a concussion. Now, you can see that's an old-school helmet, so back in the late 80s, early 90s, wearing a helmet was a different affair because they were kind of doofy-looking. Today, you can go to the bike shop, and you can find some pretty slick helmets out there, so the excuse of, hey, I don't think helmets are cool is kind of old school. Let's see, we got 10 tips, so I'll go through these. Protect your head. I was riding in Kincaid Park the other day, and I saw a guy riding with his girlfriend, and we were stopped at one of the signposts, and I noticed he didn't have a helmet. So I was like, hey, dude, where's your helmet? And his answer was, I gave it to my girlfriend. So his girlfriend had a helmet, he didn't, so I wasn't sure how that math is supposed to work. But I think we all know that there's a lot of injuries that occur at Kincaid Park, helmet would make sense. Stay visible. Anyone who watches the news knows that we have bicycle accidents in Anchorage for a variety of reasons. Sometimes visibility is one of those. When I'm riding a bicycle, it depends on where I'm riding. If I'm in Kincaid Park, I don't need to be visible really because I'm on a mountain bike trail. But if I'm riding on the highway or down Seward Highway and whatnot, I'm definitely conscientious about what I'm wearing. Look, signal, and look again. Basically says, hey, you're going to turn left. It's kind of helpful to let motorists and people know which direction you're heading in. So just the fact you're in a bicycle doesn't obviate the need to use signaling. Stay alert. I've had friends that kind of fell asleep on their bike a little bit, ran into a pothole, went over the handlebars. So you obviously want to kind of look what's in front of you. Number five is a pet peeve of mine. One thing that drives me nuts is when I see people riding a bicycle on the opposite side of the road coming at me. Now, they think that that's giving them a level of safety, but what it's really doing is distracting and freaking out the drivers coming towards them. So, basic rule of thumb is to ride with the flow of traffic. Act like a car. That just means be predictable. Stay in the lanes. Don't weave and go all over the place. Don't get distracted. You know, sometimes they say you don't listen to music while you ride. Pay attention to your surroundings, you know, talking to folks while you're riding. I think those things all speak to themselves. Just recently, a MotoGP star, Nicky Hayden, died as a result of a bicycle accident, and he was wearing earbuds. And there's some speculation that that's one of the reasons why he blew the stop sign and got hit. So something to think about there. Obey all traffic laws and lights. I think we've all seen bicycles do all sorts of things, blow through stop signs, and kind of act as though the rules don't apply. So certainly you want to obey the traffic laws. One other thing that I tend to do is if I'm in an intersection or going by a road that is perpendicular to me with a car, is I look to maintain eye contact with that driver so that they see me in the eyes. So every time I do that, because if they see me, if I see them looking me in the eye, I know they see me, and that kind of gives me some assurance that they're not going to turn into me. Two more tips, assure bicycle readiness. Obviously, before you go out for a ride, you want to make sure that your bike is safe, so that could be anything from tire pressure, are your tires good, it could be you have your working lights and whatnot, and last thing, do a quick bite test just to make sure it's functional. So 10 quick tips. There's a lot of good stuff up there. I think if we follow that stuff, it'll go a long way to making this safe. Over here for the board members, we have some bicycle accoutrements. These are really good bicycle lights, I'll call them that. They're USB chargeable. So when I ride on Seward Highway or if I'm time traveling down to Girdwood, I have that on the back of my bicycle and it's flashing because that's giving the vehicles a chance to see me queue up on me so they don't blend in the background. So if you don't ride a bicycle yourself, hand it to your kid or somebody you know. Those are great investments.
Or if you run really fast and you need people to see you.
Exactly. Question, thoughts, comments, anecdotal stories?
Well, I have many. I should have brought the pictures of Stuart and I. You can't tell if Stuart or me covered in mud after doing Johnson Trail a few years ago. And I myself have cracked two helmets over the course of the last 10 years, so I can attest to that helmet piece. How long ago was that? 15 years ago? When you were a kid? We were kids. Any other comments or stories? Harry?
I hear you and other people say that we should never face the traffic with the traffic. My wife was nearly killed from behind because it was a drunk driver behind her.
Sure.
You know, people are paying attention to their phones or their screens or whatever else, and I like to keep my eye on people and stay very far away from cars.
Oh, for sure. I don't disagree. I guess I put drunk drivers in an entirely different category of what
they're out there,
where they end up. Get your point.
I always wear a rearview mirror. I have worn a rearview mirror since about it. So that's what I do. And I can, and I'm watching it all the time, just like in the car. And if I see a car coming up behind me.
Yeah, in general, Alaska has some pretty good shoulders, so I always am on high alert once I ride where there's no shoulder, like at Cooper's Landing. When we go out from there up to the intersection, that whole road has no shoulders, so that's going to be my place. So, I guess that's part of the riding, is to see where you're at and what it's giving.
All right. I guess one other safety tip is when you think you can outrun the car, you look back and they seem like they're a long way there, and you want to go out around somebody, you don't have time. If you see them, it's too late. I know on bike tours, you know, you're constantly in and out trying to pass people, and you look back and you think you have room, and the majority of the time,
you don't.
So just another caution.
Any other comments or questions? I think we could tell stories all day. I think we've all crashed many times here, but thank you very much for your updating your tips. Any other comments? Okay, thank you.
Okay, let's move on with, we have a presentation to make. Director Crawford just recently received his board leadership certificate for completing the board leadership program, and look what we have for you.
Thank you.
How about that? So we'll present it to you. Are we taking a picture?
Unaware, I can go get the camera. Can you guys give me 2 minutes?
Sure. We'll do this.
I'll be able to get back at some point. But congratulations, Harry. I know that takes a lot of class sitting time and opportunities to learn, as they say. So thank you. All right. With that, let's go on to approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve?
And a second motion and a second to approve the agenda. Is there any comments, any discussion? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. The agenda is unanimously approved. No persons to be heard, so down to the consent agenda. Take a look again to see whether you have any comments there, the board calendar, the training and conferences, the minutes and director expenses. I have one question for the board if there are no other questions on the consent agenda. A note, I would have you note the dates for hotel registration and conference registration deadlines, so try to do as much as you can to make those plans and to comply with those dates.
I know that certainly the hotels sell out really fast, and you get one of these things way down someplace in South Egypt, and where you have to take a plane, train, and automobile, and stay in a little flea bag if you don't get your reservations in a quick way. So, with that, I want to talk about the board calendar. Connie sent out a bunch of invitations to some specific things as she updated the board calendar for this year. One thing I do want to talk about is meeting start times. I know that we have more people now that have 9-to-5-ish regularly scheduled jobs than we have had in the past, and some people have said maybe 3 o'clock, although it's convenient for staff here, is difficult for others, board members. And since this is a board meeting, the board gets to decide what's most convenient for them. So we changed it recently from 4 o'clock to 3 o'clock. CCU is one of the ones who was concerned that maybe 3 was a little early, and she's not here, maybe because 3 is a little bit early. So is there a discussion around maybe generally changing the start times of the board meetings to something other than 3?
I'm okay either way.
You're okay either way.
Me too.
Everybody's okay.
And I understand CC's position, because typically the business core hours, at least where I work, is 9 to 3:30. So I do have people that are trying to schedule my day.
Right.
There is a conflict.
Okay.
I work around.
So do you have a preference?
I would prefer 4, but...
Okay. Okay.
But for me, it's an hour bus drive, so it isn't up to you. Harder than my day, I'd leave after lunchtime to get in. So I would prefer 4.
You would prefer 4?
I'd prefer 4, if you ask.
I believe that's what Cece has to say, but I really want to hear from her. Lee, do you have any feedback from your point of view?
We can make either one work.
Just trying to...
I like 4, because 3, right in the middle of the day.
And especially when we... You guys maybe 30 minutes, but still.
It takes you a while.
Yeah.
Well, then we end up eating at 4:30, and other than a blue late, I mean, to me, that's a late lunch. I can't even get my head around, 4:30 dinner. Cece, we're talking about you. With you not here. We're on the consent agenda, and one of the things I brought up is the board calendar, and we're on meeting start times. And others, maybe including yourself, have suggested maybe we go back to the 4 o'clock meeting, and that's where we are. Do you have a thought on that?
Yes.
Yes, you do.
I would be for 4 o'clock, but obviously majority would. You don't want to make one person have an inconvenience.
Well, it is a board meeting, yeah. And we want to be respectful of everybody's time. So you get to say what your preference is. Do you have a particular
preference?
It's 4. Okay. Is there any other times that we should be discussing other than 3 and 4? How about, 7 in the morning on Saturdays? That's a non-starter. All right, non-starter. Okay, so we threw that one out. So what I'm hearing around the table is people generally either don't care or prefer 4. Is that correct? Does anybody have a different thought than that? Okay, if not, Lee, let's go with 4 o'clock start times.
Am I the only one?
No.
Okay.
No. Okay. We just didn't want to taint your thinking or giving any perspectives. Other people either prefer 4 or don't care. So let's go back to 4 o'clock meetings. I apologize for the inconvenience on the staff for staying late, but maybe that'll give us incentive to go faster. There we go. Anything else on the consent agenda, folks? Anything you want to talk about? Okay. We have a full house today. Wow. I can't believe it. Nobody's on the phone. All right. So with that, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Motion second to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, the consent agenda passes. And let's go on to CEO correspondence and CEO reports and correspondence. Let's start. I think it would probably be good to hear a bit of an election return or election comments. Teresa, could you do that? Is that okay with you, Lee?
Yep,
your
absolutely.
Section? You seem so far away.
Okay. Just this.
Maybe because people are all here.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're kind of clustered down at that end.
Well, we were tipping to this stuff earlier.
Yeah.
Okay, Teresa, could you tell us how things went?
Sure. So from staff perspective, we went into the season with a little anxiety because we were changing things fundamentally. So we were hyper-vigilant and on alert the whole time with gathering emails, making sure we communicated with the membership early, often, without agitating them, with overly communicating with them. So we, all in all, in summary, we felt it went really well. We surpassed last year's voters' participation, which was a real validation that we're on the right track and that we were doing the right things. We did learn that some communication methods kind of irritated our members, so we won't do those again.
Can you tell us what those are?
I will, particularly IVR calls. So we have the ability to call.
What does IVR mean?
Interactive voice response. It's actually a tool that lives on that piece of technology that allows us to make outbound calls to customers, affectionately known as robocalls.
Oh, dear.
So we members don't particularly care to get those automated phone calls. So we got a lot of complaints and pushback from the membership. The group we were targeting for the calls were those people we don't have email addresses for. So it was a group of roughly 22,000 people. But we completed that. Lessons learned. We probably won't use that vehicle again. We did 4 different mailings to the entire membership, and we did 5 overall email blasts to those members for whom we had email addresses. If a member had voted, we took them out of the communication pool so that we didn't annoy them further. We got relatively few complaints about that whole communication process, so we took that as a positive sign. And besides adjusting maybe some of the timing of when things go out, we intend to use the same methods next year. That's kind of my piece of the pie, the election piece. Annual meeting, we more function member services as assisting that whole process. So if you have questions about election, I'm more than happy to.
So let's do talk about that, because this was the first year we went all electronic. Comments, thoughts, your feedback that you got from your folks, people you know?
I still had that one issue with the person at my office who was a very vested member, and you know, he never ever got a single email.
Did he ever contact us to reach out to figure out why?
I forwarded the phone number. I heard back from you, and I got the phone number from Stuart's email. I think I gave it to him, so I don't know if he did or not,
right.
But I know he said he never.
And you know, it is possible. We can control only to the point where our email server hands off to another email server downstream, and we get the message that says delivered. But we really don't know how another email server, Hotmail, Yahoo, whomever, how they handle it. It's kind of like lost mail in a way. It would be the equivalent of that. We really can't track it. We don't know. Don't know what happens after that point, which is another reason why we wanted to make sure we communicated more than just one method. So I think the decision to still do mail outs is a good one to try and catch everybody.
And by statute, we still have to have a
ballot available. Well, if people want to request paper ballots, they absolutely have the right to. We have a little over 400 members who want to have paper ballots.
Okay. Other comments?
I guess I could follow on, and I would be curious if you've looked at this. My understanding are the mailing postcards were first, initially were, you know, you're going to receive an email, you can vote, whatever, you can vote. And then was the last one, did it include a control number?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So I am curious, once that one went up, if there was an increase or something, because it appears, of course, when you're running, people are like, well, I never got an email. I had to call them and get a paper copy to vote. I had several friends say that. These were friends.
Sure.
And then I had people say, well, once I got that control number, it took me a second. It's no problem.
Right.
And I don't know if there's a risk of, you know, the security that's involved or fairness in elections of sending a control number out and people getting that. But would it have been more advantageous to have that going out early on the first postcard?
Right. So basically, we discussed that. Like I don't know if you caught, we are going to look at adjusting the timing of some of the activities, but we fully intend to do that activity again and make sure we do that as part of the election process.
So why was that change? I'm just curious. Why was that change made to no control number, to a control number? Is that to stimulate the vote or something?
Yeah. Okay. To make sure, to try and account for this problem that we found out that, you know, you can only account for an email to the point it's handed off to the next email server. So that's what got us all talking about. Well, we want to make sure every member who wants to vote has an occasion to vote. So let's give them tools to do.
So when you can include a control number in the in the card, does that make it less or more secure? Was that why you didn't do it earlier? Or
no, we just built it into the process. This was kind of a learning as you go.
Okay.
And the control number was sent inside a sealed envelope. So it kind of similar to the old prior ways of sending out a password.
Okay.
It was included inside an envelope. So it wasn't outside for anybody to view, except the address.
Jim, did you
get
your?
Yeah, I was going to say, I was at the meeting last evening, and really kind of a very positive experience. This was a good election. There were several things that happened that were kind of good. I mean, I think were really great. There's two other things going on. We've got the portal working up, which all happened, and yesterday, the app is online now, and it works. I mean, I put it on the phone, it works great. It looks exactly like a portal, it's a little bit, same things, it's a little bit different. Fit the base here, and we have to scroll to get things. Okay, so it works. It allows us to create more communication with the members. And one of the comments from the gentleman sitting here, Mike, said, we would call it membership engagement. He called it membership enhancement. I really like that piece of vernacular. Because that's really what we're trying to do. So now we can communicate with everybody. We can send notes to them. We can put notifications on if they approve it, if they accept it.
If they sign up.
Yeah, if they sign up, accept it. And hopefully we'll see more of that. One of the things that will push this is the electronic payment process, which will be here. More people. It's coming. It'll be here very quickly. That'll cause more people to be involved. And as a consequence, we'll enhance our capacity to get people information where they can't say, well, I didn't get the email. I mean, where we'll have options that'll make access much easier. One of the things that was interesting, and it was a complaint too, is every time the election committee pushed out a notification to the people who had not voted via email, that they had emails, all of a sudden they got a jump in participation that day. And
which is back to Stuart's point. Yes, with every touch point we did experience a
bump. Yeah, you saw a jump. Yeah. So, and then one of the complaints was, well, then we showed preference to the people that had electronics to the people who liked mail, because we didn't get in touch with them as many times. Now,
one last time.
Well, yeah. I mean, still, it was that. But anyway, we're moving significantly towards providing better communication. And I do like that word enhancement. I'm going to use it. You know, it's membership enhancement. And there were several things positive about this election. Yes, we have a greater vote than we had last year. Seen decreases over the previous 3 years anyway. And like somebody says, to get the vote up, we need to create controversy, and he suggested increasing the rates.
He was joking.
But it would work. So, one of the things about the election committee, it does not hold back.
Okay. Are there any other comments about the election process itself or the election? We'll talk about the annual meeting in a second, but the election itself. I have just a couple questions. At one point, we thought maybe it would save us some money. Will we have an assessment of if it did in fact save us money from all those mailings? I know that wasn't our primary motive, but we thought that would be positive.
I'm still waiting for all the invoices to come in, so I don't have a final number yet. But because we did do more mailings than we have in the past, and everything is first-class postage, that has an impact.
Right.
Every time we do that.
It'd be interesting to see that comparison when you have the data. Okay, sure.
But we did have a conversation last night. You know, remember when we sent out the packets, the large packets with the annual report and everything? That was
That one was huge. But I'll make sure I have it in something for you.
And now we're down to the, I mean, last
Yeah, I don't want to say off the top of my head.
Yeah, I know.
So let me get that.
Yeah, yeah, but
we look forward to hearing how that played out.
Sure.
But there's a trend that I think it was too. Mm-hmm.
And after we talk about I'd like to talk about Julie. I've spoken with Julie a little bit, and Lee had sent me an email about an article that's potentially coming. I'm going to go tell you board members about that, and we'll probably want to just touch on that a minute. But let's go and talk about the election real, annual meeting very quickly, and then we'll follow up with that comment.
Sure.
So, annual meeting. What do you guys think? Who's all doing that? Who's,
this
who's
be
talking
a
about
a cadre
that?
Of people.
A cadre.
Including myself.
Okay. So, you did some new things. So, how did that go? We sure had a good turnout. I'll have to say that.
Well, there's a bunch of things, right? Entertainment, educational booths, a little bit different format on
snappy speeches
agenda. You know, we tried to trim that down. So those were three major changes that we hadn't done before. I think they all worked pretty well. And we also had some other things going on with member engagement sign up, so people could get hooked up with that.
I think one thing is we noticed when people first started coming in, we had Hobo Jim singing in the auditorium, and everybody was outside, and people started to go in, and the voting wasn't ready to go yet. So we did move that up so when people come in, they could register and then go into the meeting. And that worked a little bit better. So I think next year we'll have the election.
Sync them.
We'll
sync up our times on those things.
Okay.
That was one of the most obvious ones.
That's an easy one to fix. So, comments from the board, because, you know, it is a meeting that we're supposed to tell what we know. What do you guys think about the changes?
I like the rotated layout, because even though when I was inside, I was a little bit disoriented, because in my mind it was the same orientation as before.
Yeah.
But somehow the room looked different, and then I realized, because we're on a different wall at the podium. But I liked how it was more, it achieved that what we were looking for was more intimate in a way, spread out, but not that that far. The furthest away members were not that far.
Because it was the same space, just a different orientation. They were vertical instead of horizontal, and I think I agree. It made it feel more intimate and kind of cozy. But it was the exact same amount of space as last year.
How did you all feel about going without the dais?
That was my next question. What did you think about that?
Good.
You like that? You prefer that?
Mm-hmm. Flag would have been good.
Yeah.
That's on our list.
That was just a bizarre oversight. You know, is it? I mean, can you pledge allegiance to a flag that's not there? I mean, we did.
Yeah.
Very good. That was true, isn't it?
Without seeing it,
I think we all saw it. I think we know what it looks like.
I'm just going to find it.
And the members are going to find
it. Everyone turned the way you looked.
Everybody were looking at the shovel.
Vision.
So what did you think about having, so you got, did anybody not like not having the directors up on the dais? Anybody think that something else should happen there?
No, I prefer
you
sitting
prefer
down
it?
In the
okay.
The audience.
Even though we all sat kind of with ourselves and...
Some of us did. Some,
well, I don't know. Maybe so. Okay.
I had a couple people say one, the acoustics, for some reason, maybe because we weren't speaking from above, acoustics were pretty bad.
Oh. For any of it, for everything that happened, or for?
A lot of things. I mean, that's what, you know, they were just having trouble. And then your mic was having a difficulty on that. That may have what prompted it. I certainly, I was getting that from a couple of, I sat out in the crowd with the crowd, and so people were doing that. I thought, well, if it were raised a foot where we talked, step up there and talk, maybe that might have made the projection a little better. I don't really know. I just know that I got that response. And then the other response was, well, the flags.
You know, and the other one, and I like what you did. I like working crowd with the crowd basically, but they were trying. We were sitting right here, and you were right in front of us, and they were trying to look up to the front because I was over this far side, but at the same time look over here, and they couldn't quite follow you. And I don't really know. It's something to think about. I just know that they were struggling to figure out where to look. They wanted to look up here to see the things, but then at the same time they wanted to look at you. Because you were struggling. You weren't struggling, but the communication was struggling, and they were trying to listen to you, whatever they could hear. So, and then I think it's more technical issue.
Well, I don't recall that there were a video. There wasn't.
But they were kept going. They said, "Well, I keep on looking for he's talking about this thing or something."
So, what do you guys think? That's a good feedback. Any other salon? Let's talk about Lee and Lee's speech. Okay, no.
This is the first time I can remember in a long, long time somebody said they couldn't hear me.
Okay.
We couldn't hear you.
Okay. We couldn't hear you too. That's right. I mean, you were back from the microphone, and the people I think you could hear had to get right up to it. So maybe there's some technical things.
I was only about 3 or 4 inches from the microphone. I got up about 1 inch from the microphone after that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the first time in a really long time that somebody said they couldn't hear me.
Okay, so some technical things we'd have to work on.
And then Cece grabbed it wrong.
Oh, that's right.
And they went for the waiver.
So the other thing I want to talk about, what did you think about the treasurer's speech being recorded and made as a video?
Really
great. Did you like that?
Great voice for it, too.
Yeah.
I think it was much more engaging. Easier to follow.
More engaging, yeah.
I should have followed up, but I'm glad you did, because I didn't, that, you know, I'm still there if they wanted to talk about any questions afterwards or any of the after speech or just...
Well, I think that's a good comment. I think maybe after the video, then you say a few words instead of just stand there, right?
Yeah.
That's good. Okay, so that was good. Let's see, what else did you guys have thoughts on? Yeah?
Well, I shared with you that night that I think the whole board should go up to the dais, mm-hmm. and each board member should say what his or her role is in that year, even if it's just 3 or 4 sentences, because otherwise, you know, they don't have any idea what we do. And your speech, for example, was focused on initiatives that you enjoy or that you really want to focus on. But if you said, this year we had 2 strategic planning sessions, we had 30 meetings, we did this, we did that, and then Cece explained that she oversees the auditors and 10 Qs. And, you know, if each person just said what they did, then the people in the audience would, number one, conclude that we're busy and we're engaged, and second, they would understand why it costs a little bit of money to have
an active board.
So I just thought, well, we just get, you know, like anything you go to where they say, okay, well, everybody who's on the 4-H board stand up, and you look around and you think, well, I wonder what these people do, and then they all sit down and eat chicken. So, you know, it'd be really good, I think, if each person got to say, this is what I do.
I agree. That's the part I thought was missing. And we went up on the dais, which is that separation, which we didn't want. But what we didn't get to do is really recognize the contributions of every board member. And I agree that should be done. Figure out a way to do that well, briefly. But, you know, have everybody give a chance to be recognized as in themselves.
3 or 4 sentences, and we get coordinated so nobody's...
Right.
Write this down.
Yeah.
We'll forget by next year.
You know what?
Oh, we got it over there.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good suggestion, Susan. Anybody not like that?
I just want to comment on the automated transcript. Presentation. When you're talking to a large audience, it's my experience. I like to watch the audience, and then sometimes you see people just don't grasp that you can stop and back up. And you did that. You had a presentation, but you can move back and forth when you tell people
look questioning. You could
look scared.
You could add something, and that's why I'm not real. I would agree with automated presentations in.
Well, would it be satisfactory though with in this case, he's still standing there to maybe pick up a couple or two or three of those threads and expound on them from the podium?
If you can catch it, if you can catch it, then remember where was that and step in there. But yeah,
and I agree with Jim that with those kinds of subtle, you know, what kind of things are more recognizable in a setting like this. But I don't know if I would have been able to pick up in that fast. I agree.
You look at, you see this person, you really do like, you know, I like to talk to people, pick out some people that are interested in talking to them and watch what goes on.
Well, it actually ties in with, instead of just standing there and waiting for people to have questions later, to say, you know, I want to bring to your attention something in the video and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do a couple of those.
Yeah.
Sure.
Hey, Susan.
Yeah, I was going to disagree a little bit. In trial work, about 10 years ago, conventional wisdom and the evidence showed that people get a lot more out of a video than they get out of a talking head because they're used to getting everything in a video package. So I think they get the information faster. And I like the mix-up of the Corey video about the USO and your video mixed in with live.
Yeah.
And yours was technical. That one was technical. Yours was technical. And it's much easier to present financial information in a video with the pie charts and everything's moving and your voice is going and stuff is moving across the screen. I think it made it a better presentation. But I don't disagree that saying at the end, you know, I hope that you picked up from that. We're right on track. We meet all of our guidelines. It's a good, solid organization. You can call anytime with any questions.
Good way to report things. Other thoughts about the annual meeting itself?
I just had one comment. I thought Lee going out to the audience was just super great, but I did hear feedback from somebody, and they thought maybe you having a corridor through there so you didn't have to kind of go through chairs. Mm-hmm. You know, some parts of that you were kind of struggling because all the tables were in the space, so maybe if there's a pathway for you,
a runway.
Yeah, a runway.
Yeah. A red car. And they will put cards and say, "Hey, yeah. Harry."
Being that I'm not going to have to do this again, but I think that 2 minutes is not nearly enough time to say anything. So
okay, for the candidate speech is what you're talking about.
That's a good point.
I felt like I was, you know, being cut off in mid-breath.
Okay. So. You just ignored them. Yeah, you did a good job. Wait that thing at me all night.
Well, we've all been candidates. What do you all think about?
I think he's right.
You think 2 minutes is too short?
I mean, if people wanted to keep it to 2 minutes, they still can.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
Stafford sat down after 30 seconds.
So you wanted a minute and a half.
Okay, so let's think about that too. Maybe extending that to 3 minutes or something as a max, and people can, you know, say as little or as much as they want. Is 3 minutes enough?
Well, that would be better.
I don't know what the right number is.
I don't know either, but I mean, I know that too. I was just barely getting cranked.
Julie, I think that's three minutes is probably a good time. But the good news about all that is only 75 people voted at the meeting. 7,000 plus had already voted.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So that's a good perspective to have that, you know, most folks had already voted, have already voted by the meeting.
Okay.
And so you are being heard in your other forums and outreach and that type of thing.
That's
so
good.
Other thoughts about that part of the meeting? Okay, I think everybody liked having Hobo Jim there. I think. What else do you guys want to talk about then? I mean, there were some changes and there were some things that stayed the same. Okay, well, it was nicely done, Jim.
I was going to say, your guys are considering potentially using the annual meeting here and that something changes my
mind.
Yeah. I hope it's positive. I mean, I know you'll make it as positive as you can. I'm not saying I prefer it, actually, but that's...
Hey, Tyler?
Well, we're here, and before we launch into that, because a lot of us would really like to do that, but I think we'd like to hear how you all feel about that idea. Because if we're going to do that, we need to get cracking, right? It's not a small thing to do. I mean, we have plenty of daylight. No, I don't want to be scary about that, but we want to know that you guys think, okay, that's worth exploring, it's a good idea, or if you have some discomfort around an idea, we'd like to know what that is so we can see if we can mitigate those kinds of things before launching into this.
Well, I'll wait, but I have a little discomfort, okay. Susan.
Well, if it's a whole bunch of work, then why change it? Why wouldn't? If it's going to take a huge amount of staff and management time to do it and then take it all down, and it's going to cost us money, I think people kind of like going to the Dena Center,
It's an event. So.
Yeah, I think in retrospect, I think we've talked about it, and I think it would be great. But when you think about some of the logistics of getting 450 people in an area where you can, I mean, if we thought acoustics were bad down there, they're really going to be bad in the tent or some other area. So I think we really need to think through that. If we do down at the Dena Center, we definitely need to offer some kind of a parking validation or something when people come in. I think that would be.
I have a Stuart, then Harry. Stuart?
Yeah, so from the member enhancement standpoint, would people, if it's a day like this, I would guarantee we're going to have fewer members, even if there's a tent there. Yet, if it's a sunny day, we're going to have a huge number, I would think. I think it's very weather dependent. Downtown, it is like an event. It may be more exciting. We may want to let people know they can park on the roads for free.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah, we just add parking and maybe a voucher.
So I think with the weather, it's a crapshoot in Alaska.
Are you?
And then Terry, then Bettina. Harry.
So Glenn and my kid got there a little bit late. They didn't get a place to sit at a table. There were a lot of people who were sitting around the outside edges. I think we had more people show up than what we anticipated. So we need to think about that.
Well, hopefully that's a trend that will continue and we can accommodate that.
And if you get a tent, I'd rather have it on the park strip.
Which is not our service territory. So.
What's that?
Which isn't our service territory.
We can work on that.
Power would be difficult. Power should never be difficult.
Utility company computers and
I'm just saying.
We've got battery.
All right, now Bettina was next up. Bettina?
I just had a comment to Stuart. I think that my guess is the annual meeting is weather dependent. And I think it's even weather dependent going down to the Dena
because
it was kind of not a very nice night. And, a nice night in the middle of May, a lot of you have
no sun. We've seen that before, the reverse.
And then I have a question about the date. That's always graduation week. Is that a sacred date that we have the annual meeting?
No.
Because that's a difficult week.
Window.
It's between May 15th and June 15th, according to the bylaws, I believe.
That's something to look at because it was like Diamond High's graduation night.
That whole week. And there's always, graduation every night that week.
Yeah.
So that
we dealt with that.
And if it's people in our.
I missed a graduation.
Are there any other. That's a good one. Let's take a look at avoiding graduation nights. Certainly for people that are just in our area.
Which is a challenge in May, but we can look at it, absolutely.
So do we limit it? I noticed there were people there that were not from our service territory. Are they, anybody can come to our annual meeting?
Okay.
I just want to make sure we don't have that. Any other comments? Yes, Cece?
Just on the venue, I agree with what Stuart said about weather dependent and maybe the acoustics. I just want to because we put it out there, and there was applause when we said that, that we could look into.
Oh, that's
people true. Seemed super excited about it. So if we never do that, that they might ask next year, so we should kind of just realize that we dropped that piece of information, and there seemed to be excitement.
Yeah, Tyler?
If we didn't go the campus way, I think we've done a couple debriefs of our own. I think we would do a number of things to enhance the event that we have going on. And I would probably try and get more community participation.
Yeah, that would be good.
That we would do. We would come back to you and say, you want to do something different with the food. That might be something that we would do to enhance participation.
I mentioned
it's indoors and it's not in our service territory.
Well, actually, let me just correct that, because the annual meeting, it just has to be in the municipality of Anchorage.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The location.
The service territory.
Right. No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
But we have traditionally tried to make anything that we go and spend money on power for it to be money we're paying ourselves. So that makes just kind of general sense.
But can I add one thing? We would like you to pick the date tonight, though, because if we're reserving Dena'ina, we have to do that ASAP. And if you look at the 18 calendar, was it Thursday? Yeah, so there's the 17th, the 24th, then you have Memorial Day, so you don't want to do that week. And then you get into June 7th. So we really do need to kind of pick the date.
And which are the graduation weeks, both those weeks that you mentioned in mid-May?
Probably 17th.
Yeah.
May
17th. While we're doing the rest of the meeting, can you look up to see in the school calendar what they've assigned us with the graduation nights for our area?
See, a few years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, we have the meeting early, like in April or late, very early May. Or yeah. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, but it ran into the municipal election. So we've been trying to move it away from the municipal election, and now we're up against graduation. So
we changed it from, remember, it used to be April to April. We changed it.
And then we changed our board year from May to May.
So we can't.
Because we changed the annual.
Got to be May 15th, chicken and egg, June 15th. You know? 15th. Those, yeah, exactly.
Well, if you could see when graduation is,
we'll do that.
I don't think we want to move it, butt it up against the municipal election. It gets confusing with people who, how voting goes. But see, while we talk the rest of the meeting, if we can kind of come up back to that later. The comments I have are that I do like having an event rather than sort of a picnic style. I think we are a serious organization, and we have business, and we have to make a report to the people who own us. And I think it should feel like a professional organization making a report to the people who own us. So in that sense, sort of a picnic atmosphere with outside and tents and, clowns, it doesn't feel right to me with our responsibility that we have. So that's just it's just a feeling. I have no basis for that other than I'd like to see it be an event. Like it is. I wasn't referring to who we had there. So if that's it, in the immediate feedback, certainly this is not the only discussion we need to have. We'll come back to the date time. The one thing I did want you to do, Julie, Leah sent me a note, and then I spoke with you briefly about an article that's being written about election and the annual meeting. Could you tell us more about that?
Let me tell you one thing first about the annual meeting this year. Next year we do want to have a rehearsal with the key players, because that second podium was for everybody else. That mic that was in the middle was Hobo Jim's. And it's unfortunate it got left there, but that's... And I was in the back of the room, and I could hear everything, except when your microphone got weak. Mm-hmm. But next year, we want to have a rehearsal for the main players. Say, you walk up here, this is what microphone... And that will make it better.
Okay.
But that was... That's what happened with that microphone in the middle, Harry. That was not supposed to be used for the... I was in the back of the room, waving my hand. Nobody saw that he got up there.
I was surprised.
Yeah. So, short of running up there and moving you all over, I just... what to do.
Okay. That makes sense, because the width of the, or the depth, or however you want to think of the podium, was not sufficient to when Ron Stafford was speaking. I felt as if he was too close to Mary,
And I thought,
I was like, you could just my perspective,
but it just didn't seem
Okay. Okay, and then let's finish this up. But Stuart.
Yeah, no, exactly. And Harry actually moved back.
I did.
So when I was up there, you know, he wanted more personal space.
Okay. I appreciate it.
So let's talk about this article coming up, and then we'll move on to some other.
So it's out. It already was published. The good news is it was hard to find online, and it was below the fold on the B section. It also was,
unless it was favorable.
It was. So Alex being Alex, the headline said, Chugach board members survive dam controversy. So that controversy still exists in Alex's head. But it was a very short article about our voter turnout, who ran, who got elected. He briefly regurgitated the dam controversy. And he did not include the stipend amount that you guys earned, which he had asked me about. So it was very short. We can send you the online version. But it was below the fold on the B section of the printed paper. So it was,
The headlines are not good. The rest of it's not bad.
You know, when I told you on the phone I couldn't figure out how he was going to tie it to the dam, well, he figured out how to tie it to the dam.
He said he didn't
tell us,
because how could he possibly?
I have nothing to do with it. Well, never underestimate the negativity of a reporter. But I don't think it was a big deal. I mean, you read it and you're like, eh.
Yeah, you know, read it.
High voter turnout, no turnover. So public's not really upset. And I sent him an email yesterday, and I said, oh, by the way, Alex, not one person at the annual meeting asked about
that. That's right. And if he really cared about that, he could come to the annual meeting and hear about it himself.
Yeah. So it was kind of, I think the article was basically a non-event.
Survives.
Damn. Yeah. Good thing. But that's just, I mean, he is just really the epitome of a biased reporter, on, especially on environmental issues.
I had a couple of people call me and say, so was that Snow River thing, was that a big deal? I mean, what's this survive thing?
Exactly.
So, okay, so
did we get the calendars?
They're not set for 18 yet. But okay. It looks like all the graduations start happening May 8th, and they end on May 23rd.
This is from 17.
And the
we don't have, they don't have the 18.
They don't have 18. The big high schools are the week of May 15th.
Okay, so I mean, I'm looking at the ones that are in our, oh, you mean just all Anchorage?
Yeah, Anchorage.
The 24th is the Thursday.
Right.
That's the last
May
Tuesday next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that would be a logical
date. So if we keep it in May and we keep it on a Thursday, it sounds like it's the 24th. Does anybody, and we don't know the schedule.
It would be the Thursday before Memorial Day.
Yeah, that's a problem.
But,
it's well in advance of that weekend. It's a whole
Thursday.
There's a weekend in between. Oh, okay. It's not Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day weekend is the following.
Oh, it's not Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday?
No, I don't think so.
No, it has to be, because it's the last one.
Yes.
Okay. So it's got to be the 20th.
Okay, we need to move on to some point. Okay. I think the 24th. Is there any reason not to have it on the 24th?
Well, hang on.
You don't have a weekend there.
The Thursday before, but I don't see a problem with having it for Thursday.
Okay, you're right.
Thursday before.
So the 28th. Then people forget. Okay. So it sounds like the 24th works. That's better for you than the 7th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Either that or
I don't think people want to go into June with this.
Okay.
I think that's when people really want to
fishing,
vacationing, camping, whatever. So does anybody have a problem with the 24th? As far as we know from the calendar events that are already, I guess we won't know what the school, what should be three major high schools in our service territory on the 24th?
I'll contact the district and see if they even have like a version that's not posted.
Yeah, I mean, we can't have...
Okay,
all of our people. Okay. All right, well, let's just thank you guys. Thank you for that. Is there anything on the key metrics dashboard anybody wants to talk about, or Lee, anything there that you would like to discuss?
No, I think there was just, you know, the two items that we highlighted are the lost time injury rate and our overtime hours, and we tried to give you a scenario on what's going on there, just so we don't, if we're in something other than green, we want to let you know what's going on, so it's a description.
The overtime for TLIN, that was our employees, right?
Yes.
That's good. I'm glad our employees are busy.
Yeah, and we get paid back for that, though, right? Because...
No,
that's just okay. Oh. That was something else. Okay, there was one thing that was in the red, and what was that? Oh, safety, and there was an explanation about
that. Yeah, we had, and we talked about that early. We had our safety stand down, which I think was good, and I think we've had better results since then.
Okay.
And we'll continue to work on.
It seems like the first quarter of the year always kind of kicks us
starts us off in a bit of a hole.
So we hope it gets better than what we're working on.
Well. Okay, so let's go to update on Cooper Lake. I think we're all...
Paul kind of give an update on where we're at with the siphon project.
Yeah, it might be best if we look at the board again. And here's our pipe, which is about 1,800 feet. We have a fill line, and we actually have a vent line over here. Trying to sort out, well, what's going on, why can't we maintain a siphon? We also have a valve down here, motor operator. Time we spoke, we had a crawler put in through this side, and it could reach about here. So we could get a longer crawler. This is about 1,800 feet. And the crawler went in, and there's a joint right here. You can see an O-ring, piece of an O-ring sticking through. You can actually see some gravel in the bottom here. And this little piece over in here. So, and then what we did after that inspection, we went all the way, actually all the way down here.
Could you help us define the problem more specifically before you explain what you figured out?
Back to the siphon. We broke the siphon, and this happened in November for our data.
The siphon from where to where? I mean, I'm
oh,
just
sorry.
Back, yeah.
The lake. Siphons water and
so go all the way back to the purpose of the Stetson Creek diversion and why it was put in. And
sure.
Yeah, I think we need to really start square one here.
Oh, okay, let me back up.
Right?
So, back to 2007, we had a relicense. In the relicense agreement, it was a 50-year agreement, there was a requirement to release warm water, the surface water from Cooper Lake. And release it into Cooper Creek to enhance fish habitat. There was water diverted from, and I'm going, this is actually to the west, Stetson Creek came down and released deeper into the lake. The net flows are a little more into the lake and come out and go into Cooper Creek. And the warm water, of course, occurs in summer. You don't get warm water in winter. But there is a release requirement all year long. So, back in about November, and we didn't conclude this until January, that the siphon, any other siphon, it holds water and then releases water and releases it all winter. It's a tendency of those.
What kind of volume, what are we talking about from a flow rate standpoint, like volumetric flow rate?
Yeah,
volume
that's right. It's a tendency of those, 10 cubic feet per second.
Yeah. And what level are we talking about? 10 cubic feet per second, or what did you say it was?
10 cubic feet per second.
Okay, 10 cubic feet per second.
Yeah, that's the requirement all winter, okay. And summer rises in June, goes to 20,
okay.
Or goes to 30 in August.
Okay.
that drops back down.
Okay. Great, thank you.
So there's a required release at this time. It was 10 cubic feet per second. And the siphon broke, and we didn't know why. And that's what we were trying to assess, is there was no release of water. A few weeks ago, or 2-3 weeks ago now, we've gone back to Stetson Creek, and we've opened the diversion. Water is now being released from Stetson Creek back into Cooper Creek, about 10 CFS, until we resolve this issue. So, moving on to inspecting the pipe and trying to understand why the siphon would maintain itself. We've done a number of times trying to refill. We will close this valve here. We will fill from here and fill this whole site. And of course, this is a little lower than the intake here. And create a siphon as soon as these open up here. And what happens, it will release water for about 5 minutes, and then it'll stop.
Is this a design issue or an operation issue?
Well, and that's where I'm getting. It's what we found.
The people who we paid a bunch of money to do this are going to come back and fix it for free, right?
No.
Well, I would think they would.
Well, it depends on what kind of an issue it is. It does depend on what kind of an issue it is.
Well, and warranty period is in. The construction company, which was $5 to $6 million less than the next company, they subsequently went broke and the owner died. Trying to get money.
Yeah, when it happens.
If you're saying it's a construction issue, then I'm not going to get money from that.
But we don't know that yet, right?
It doesn't mean a bond, though.
Well, go ahead. Tell us more about what's
going on. Yes. So we put a crawler through here, and we could see internally that there was an O-ring seal problem here. And this is about 1,600 feet. No, I'm sorry, it's a little less. This is about 600 feet over here, so 1,200 feet roughly. And that's where we have this one joint. There's a separation of 2-3 inches, and this joint covers that. And we could see debris in here, and see that damage. And then we subsequently filled the line. And if you're looking from above, the lake level right now is up here. You have an embankment here. And you have essentially gravel, and the water will migrate up and down. And we can see an erosion pattern on the surface about here. We refilled the line, sure enough, water reappeared. And so this is very strong evidence on the delts. This is where the leak is occurring. So we have worked with the manufacturer of the pipe, it's in Italy, to get a better seal design here.
Is that the only place where the pipe is flanged up with the seal?
That is the only place. To get a better design for a seal, and they're working on it right now, like you should by the end of next week. We're going to need to, because in order to repair this, we need to take about a 100-foot section. Pipe is thick, it doesn't bend easily. We have to dig. This is about under 5-6 feet of material. We have to dig down below the material and actually lower it down than that. We have to be able to lift it up to put inserts on the inside and then encapsulate it on the outside. So if I have a pipe over here, there's an insert that goes here, so it goes all the way through around. It's a round piece like that. And there's a piece that goes in here. And then there's another piece of this coupling that goes on the outside, HDPE, and then this gets bonded together. So that's all in the works. So what happens, the company, we're doing some added work over at Kalutna right now. The company has performed repairs on HDPE pipe before, and
they've actually been out to the site already and they give an estimate and they're already planning work. So we have a construction company in progress or process, and we have manufacturer of this decoupling in progress. So we're in the 4 to 8 week range this will be repaired.
So before Susan asks, how much is this going to cost?
Oh, we don't have an exact number. I'm estimating $50,000 to $100,000.
Oh, that's the repair, $50,000 to $100,000. Cece?
So all that joint that you turned that will be doing a repair like that, is that also the same type of joint that we had that failed?
No, it's different than the one that failed.
Stuart, and then do you hand it to Susan? Okay.
Sure.
I saw Stuart.
So I'll follow Cece because we're engineers and like the technical. So it's different. What was the original purpose of that joint? Why wasn't it a solid fill?
Well, yeah, this was a single piece that was sunk into the ground. And so it was handled separately.
Is the rest of that in the ground as well?
Yeah,
the other 1,200 feet?
This is all buried until you get about all the way to the end here.
So there was going to be a joint somewhere.
There would be a joint somewhere, correct.
That's have to be it. I have to go to Susan, then we come back to you. Susan?
Are we in compliance with the permit? With our authorization to operate? Because we had to do this in order to get the lease, whatever it is.
Technically, compliance requires that we have siphon flow per the permit.
Right.
We interrupted siphon flow per the permit, so we're technically not in compliance when that occurs.
So have we notified FERC or whoever?
Oh, they're not, yes.
Okay, so they know
that
it was an emergency upset condition.
And how long has this been in this? I know we've been talking for a bit. How long has this been in the siphon bin not working? A few months or a few weeks?
No, since the end of November.
Since the end of November.
And that we identified that it actually was the case in January.
Okay.
And so we've been trying to actually get it working, and we've had a number of mechanisms trying to figure out what's going on here.
Okay, I think
so. We actually went and inspected all these lines too. We put cameras down, and they actually, I think it was simple here, but it's not simple at all.
Oh, it doesn't seem simple.
There's a lot of bends in it, and we ran cameras through.
Okay.
You're sure that's the problem, though, from all the troubleshooting that you've done? You're sure that's the leak?
Yeah, we can see, but
it could be more.
When we fill, when we see an erosion pattern here, and then we fill the pipe, and we see it pop
right
up
there.
Within 30 minutes, pretty strong evidence that this is the location. It fits, and then we see this debris here. I'm drawing it as far more angled. It's very kind of flat at this point, but we see gravel on the bottom. Very strong evidence. I'm convinced.
That at least it's a major problem. There may be more, but
well, potentially there are more, but it did run for a year and a half. Yeah. I've been running.
Any reason why that would have broken apart like that, or that it wouldn't have made
could have reflected change? That this was a colder year. It actually, at the time we lost the siphon, was a cold point. It was the first one in the year in November. Yeah. If you look at the temperature records, we dropped. In a nearby location, we dropped below zero, and it was pretty cold. So this would have been colder than that temperature indicated, of course, Creek. Substation is not too far away. So I'm suspicious of when that happened and it dropped.
Yeah.
And did it cause some sort of movement one way or the other?
That'd be interesting to know.
What had been not, coupling didn't hold it.
And are we looking at any recourse? If the coupling doesn't hold and it's related to cold weather, and you would assume that would have been part of the design consideration for the original design, how are you looking at any recourse on a design flaw?
Yeah, we're still investigating that aspect. As in order, if it gets into construction,
it could be
We're not going to get anywhere with that.
Nothing with construction. Okay.
Get over.
Well, that's interesting. Jim, did you have your hand up?
Yeah. That joint's a well with the That new joint would be a well with I mean, a plastic well
with it'll be a plastic well to join ATP.
Okay, interesting. Any more comments about that? Or do you have anything more to add on that?
Well, I want to be clear in the welding. I think it's going to be like a chemical welding process, yeah. Not a thermal welding anymore, because welding.
Yeah, I understand.
Now I've been digging with you for a bit. Pretty large device.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool project. All right, thank you. That's a good update. We appreciate that. All right, so moving along, we have the board policy scheduled tasks. Is there any update that you want to give, or are those just is what we're reading here sufficient for folks?
I think the business development one, what we added in a little bit so you can quantify what the potential revenues are, so we've added that staff report, and we'll continue to do that as we go forward. This report on the employee benefits.
That's a confidential document. Do you want to take that?
We probably should talk about that in executive session.
Okay, so labeled confidential. We can't.
So let's move that one. But let's stay here for just a bit on the business development load activity report. I really like the format of this report. And I like the information that's presented. It's very, very very informative. I think I'm really excited about, I don't know why, the little things get you. I'm really excited about this potential money from Volkswagen settlement.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I wouldn't count it, but.
I know, but it's kind of exciting, just in general. I mean, everybody's got their little weird things, so.
Well, it's a good thing to use it for some environmental good,
yeah.
Too. And they were cheaters.
Anyway, really, really, really appreciate this update. I think it was really well done. Thank you for whoever all worked on this. Commercial marijuana, we'll see. I mean, that could be something really great for us as a company. All right, anything else that anybody wants to talk about on the business development and load activity?
I like it too.
And I think what we're trying to do is if we go back to the board policy, we put the matrix together to say, okay, when are all these things due? Mm-hmm. So what we're This is kind of the first month where we have a bunch of these reports that are due in May. So that's why you see them show up here. And we'll continue to do this as those come due.
And if I might just give my opinion, this is exactly what I had in mind of what we were looking for. So thank you. Anybody else want to see something different? Does this satisfy some of the questions that we had? Or you guys all good with this? Okay. So we're going to move the employee benefits piece to executive session, and so we'll go down to the report on board to the Board of Energy Efficiency and Conservation Efforts, which is the next one. Get out of this. Any thoughts on that one?
I think we've had very few thefts. We've had a few, so we have some pictures that kind of outline what some of the folks have been busy doing. And basically just outline the tasks that we do on an annual basis to check and make sure we don't have this. The one advantage we have was with the new AMI system, if it's pulled out and we don't know about it, it's going to tell us right away. So it's going to be very difficult for customers to do this without us knowing about it and getting there to see what's going on.
That's good. Yeah. Any comments on this? Again, thank you for a good update, Susan.
Well, it just occurred to me that I thought when we did strategic planning, we were going to just try to have 5 minutes of every board meeting where we just talked about any initiatives we've read about the newspaper or something. We were going to have a dialogue about.
We have that under the section called New Ideas.
New Ideas.
We also, it comes out in the CEO report. It's got a lot of miscellaneous. Type again.
Yeah,
is that sufficient for you? Okay.
And I've added something under new ideas as a concept for you to think about, just to make sure, because we bring stuff up and sometimes it goes forward and sometimes it doesn't. So what we're going to try to do is keep track on an annual basis, and we'll keep adding to the list. And
good.
If we look at an initiative and it doesn't turn out to be what we want, we'll
let you know what it is, and if there's timelines on when we will have a report, we'll let you know what that is. And then we put the red, yellow, green kind of concept to it to give you a quick overview.
Well, that's helpful because sometimes we just kind of sort of mention it, and then sometimes it's acted upon in a very vigorous fashion, sometimes not at all. So thank you for managing that. Any other comments on any of items I, and IV, short of the double I? Okay, if not, that concludes the CEO reports and correspondence, so let's get to director reports. RTEC, I'd like to defer any director report on RTEC to the executive session. I believe we have a discussion there in executive session. Anybody have any problem with that? Okay, direct reports. So, committee reports. Are there anybody that wants to report on any committee reports? I think we've had a fairly recent update on all of these prior to the annual meeting. Is there anything there?
We did schedule an operations committee meeting for June 7th.
Okay, there is one. And I asked, maybe it's not the time, maybe it's, yeah. Under new business, we're going to be talking a little bit about, I asked, I think it was Arden, to put together a list of all the appointments that either are board chair appointments and committee relationships and, you know, liaison type appointments. It's time to rethink that and redo that and reassign everybody's stuff. There are only a few things that are set. Officers are set. And the only other thing that is set is the chair of the Audit and Finance Committee, which is the treasurer. So other than that, we have a whole bunch of things to appoint. Let's wait till we get back to down to new business at the end of the day so that people can go home while we talk about who wants to do what. In the past, we've said, send me what you want to do, and we'll sort it out from there. So we'll take care of that later. So moving forward after that, are there any other committee reports? Did you want to report under other reports anything on the Enterprise Committee meeting that you had at MLMP, or should we save that for executive session?
We did meet with the assembly. Almost the entire assembly was there, but it was the Enterprise Committee, which is four members of the overall assembly. And there were three presentations. One was by Anchorage Economic Development Corporation, Bill Popp. And he talked about the process that they've been looking at with a potential merger of the utilities, trying to have additional savings to lower rates for the big commercial customers in Anchorage.
What are they actually doing differently than what we've already done?
What
is AEDC doing on their own initiative?
The only thing they've done is they've got a small group of business people together and talked about ways. I think what they're trying to do is put pressure on the municipality to make a move to look at savings to lower rates for MLP customers. Because what they've seen is, I think they've had in the last 5 years, they've seen like a 70% increase in rates. And so it's been pretty significant for the MLP customers.
Okay, so they're doing, I guess I was looking for things that they're doing on their own that we haven't, you know, contributed to or already done. So they're taking some initiative on their own to put together just information. Are they conducting studies? Are they just advocating for?
I think it's more of an advocacy role. They held four meetings, and they asked the utilities to come in and say, what are you guys doing? A little bit about our service territories. What have you done in the past? What are you looking at doing in the future to try to improve service to customers and lower rates? And obviously, we've talked about, you know, the things we have done is SPP, the power pool, you know, the Blue River unit, the big things that have lowered rates for customers. And so what they're looking for is what can be done in the future. They brought in an outside consultant to say, okay, what are utilities doing in Lower 48? What do you see are improvements that can be done given the situation that we've got? Kurt Strunk with NERA came in. He's a consultant, worked for Chugach and MLMP when we did the Beluga River unit, he looked at the situation and said, you know, a majority of what could be done is already being done with the efforts that are underway. Unless you go to a merger, there's not a lot of benefits you're going to get with just working together. So it's going to require really merging together to get any significant savings. So that was his recommendation to the committee.
And they paid for it, commissioned and paid for this study?
Yes, they did.
So I have a couple of questions, and then we'll take questions from here. And then once we get through director reports, we'll take a break. I forgot about a break. So the original Navigant study from, what, 2007 or 6 or somewhere in there, who commissioned that and paid for that?
That was a joint effort with the municipality and Chugach.
I get the impression when AEDC talks about it that they initiated that and it's their study. Is that incorrect?
That is incorrect.
Okay, that needs to be disabused. All right, that's my comment. Harry had his hand up and then Jim.
Yeah. So in the time that, MLMP's rates went up 70%, what did ours do?
20-25, somewhere in that neighborhood.
And how much of that could you attribute to the fact that we're just using less electricity for residential? Well, I mean, everybody's saving on electricity, it seems. This month, we dropped under 300 kilowatts at our house, which is the lowest I think I've gone so far.
So this doesn't look at what customers pay. It just looks at the rate itself.
Well, I know, but if everybody's using less kilowatts, our cost per kilowatt has to go up.
Right.
So, how much of that?
Well, I think we probably looked at, close to a 5% reduction in energy use over that same time period.
Okay.
Is that your question? Okay, Harry. Jim?
Yeah, my question is it appropriate to continue this conversation? Not an executive.
Well, I think we should have as much conversation as we can in public session, but I think there's some things
The Enterprise Committee it's a public meeting, so we can certainly talk about what was been talked about in public.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to talk about strategy or
okay,
or
fine, thank you.
We're just talking about the meeting that happened and what was covered. Okay, Susan?
I don't know if it was me. I was talking to somebody about the Navigant study, and they said bunch of money spent on that, and it concluded that the city wasn't in the city's best interest to do any kind of merger with Chugach because it was so much cheaper to get money through bonds than it was to borrow money. And that's no longer true, right? So the Navigant study, which is appears to be used by people as a kind of an absolute bar to advancing the discussion. It would be good to color that discussion a little bit.
I agree.
Get people talking about
that study was 10 years ago.
I think we have it in there. I asked Connie for it once and she said, two drawers in the file.
I was just curious because what I'd heard in the press was that they did all this work and they had this, they all spent all this money in the state. And I thought we did that.
We did that.
Okay, Jim?
No, that's it. You got my question.
Okay, so that's anything else on the Enterprise?
I guess just a follow up out of that, Director Reeves is right. The MLP did talk about the savings, and what they did is they showed the results of the Navigant study. And it showed there were seven different cases. There was a case where Chugach acquired MLMP. There was a case where MLMP acquired Chugach. And then there were several others. And in the studies, it did say that for Chugach to acquire MLMP would be more expensive than the other way around because of the refinancing issue and the difference in the taxable versus the tax-exempt debt. When I made my presentation, I knew what he was going to come up with, and I did say that is irrelevant in today's market. The entire financing world is turned around, plus they're going out to refinance their debt anyway. So anyway, I said those things really don't matter. When Mark did his presentation, he acknowledged that the O&M savings is probably greater for you guys acquiring MLMP than the other way around, and that those savings are really not there anymore. So he acknowledged that, yes, that's going to be a whole new ballgame, and you can't look at 10-year-old data to come up with any definitive agreement.
Well, and I think I recall, too, that the profits that MLMP made went back to the city, and that is no longer allowable. So that's changed that financial backdrop completely. So
and I think the whole finance thing needs to be reevaluated.
Yeah, absolutely.
At the end of the day, the committee decided that we should look at this. They take the recommendations of AEDC to continue to have the parties work and come up with what is the best solution going forward. And so they did a resolution, and they're going to give that resolution to the full assembly, and it's my understanding that it won't come up next week, but probably a week after that.
And the resolution is to basically redo parts of the Navigant study, or to do what is the resolution for?
Basically for the parties to get together and figure out, is there a possibility of merger making sense?
And so that, with an assembly resolution, then that drives the mayor or the MLMP leadership to have that conversation.
Correct.
Is that what that intended? We'll talk about that in the executive session, okay? All right, anything else on that public meeting? Okay, so I think we're going to talk about, there were some REIT meetings, and we're going to talk about a particular issue in executive session that you all, I had to print out the email that I got. I think you may have all seen it anyway, but we'll talk about that in executive session. So is there anything in open session about REIT that you want to talk about, Cece?
Just that there has been activity. There was, since the last board meeting that we've had and I've reported on, there was a public policy committee meeting on May 5th. And there was a REIT board meeting the day before our annual meeting. So in the public policy committee meeting, so a lot of focus on the USO, ISO, /Transco effort. Just the, kind of the main takeaway is that the REIT community feels that there's still no unified voice that speaks for the powerful or architect, and it's just what they're interested in having a process for IPPs to be able to follow when they have a project they are interested in developing. And that's on the public policy committee side. The last board meeting that we had was more, I don't know how to say this, not so much strategic. I have nothing to report on it. It was facilitated by an outside consultant, but I don't think there was anything groundbreaking there or anything different that we would be viewing as a result of that. But it was more to focus on the mission and why does REIT do what they do, and a lot focus on why. You know, why we do this, what's our driver, why. And I don't think that kind of affects Jagesh's view. I'm not sure how.
Well, we'll be able to discuss more
yeah.
of kind of the key stuff that is pertinent to us in executive session. So anybody have any questions for Cece on the briefing? The other one I want to talk a little bit about is that Susan and Lee and I met with Crystal and what's his name from Copper Valley? Tom? Wait.
Joe.
I can picture him.
That's terrible.
The general manager at
Duhamel.
Oh, Clay.
Duhamel. Josh. No, Josh Duhamel's an actor.
That's an actor.
No.
That's an actor.
I have John Duhamel.
John. Okay, John, I think it's John. John Campbell. Well, anyway, it was a very cordial meeting. We had made an overture to say, hey, how's APA doing potentially? You know, we'd be interested if things have sorted out on your end of rejoining. We had a very candid discussion about some, you know, reiterated some of our issues from previously, and
they will be appearing at our June meeting with a proposal and some things that they've done to maybe enhance us and, you know, to look at having us participate again. So we will be having that conversation in June.
And we promised to give them.
Well, she wanted to know she could work with us in the meantime to make sure that they're addressing the things that are important to us.
Harry? Yeah, our dues.
And MLMP pulled out of that as
MLMP is out. I don't know that they've entertained any discussions to come back in. We are now entertaining, or will be entertaining when they make a presentation, a discussion to come back in under whatever circumstances. Speaking of dues, she did say it would be lower. They've done some things to better their financial situation, but we had some structural things that we were concerned about that they think that they can manage. We'll talk about that in executive session too. Any other meeting reports before we take a short break? Well, 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 let's take a short break. Let's do 10 minutes, come back at, well, let's do 9 minutes and come back at 20 until 5.
Leave at 5. We have to vote on things.
Or getting board leadership thing. Come on, Harry. Ooh, you got everything you could possibly need. Okay, unfinished new business. Under adopt calendar of regular meetings of the Board of Directors. So, the one issue.
Madam Chair.
Let's take a look at the calendar.
I move that the Board of Directors adopt the resolution which adopts a schedule for regular meetings of the Board as reflected in the Board calendar with Board meetings starting at 4 p.m.
All right. Does this, would this include the annual meeting and the annual meeting date as well? Wait, is there a second that we'll have a discussion?
Regular meeting.
Second.
There's a second. So we have a motion and a second. Is the annual meeting considered a regular meeting of the Board? And do we need to set a different date than the one that was in the schedule? It's my only thought.
The annual meeting is a member meeting, not a board meeting.
Okay.
So it is not. Have to be at 4 o'clock, but I don't know if it's on here or not.
I'm looking right now. September, we're moving to October, November, December. How do we get to
2018? It isn't even on here. So
It's on the calendar. Not on the board's calendar, not on your board calendar, but
it's on what I'm looking at here, which is part of the resolution. So.
Yeah, under the resolution, there's just a board of directors meeting on the 23rd of May. No other meeting scheduled there, so it's just a regular board only board of directors meeting. Okay, so we any other discussion? All in the favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes, and we've approved the calendar of regular meetings. Appointment of RTEC member management and alternative reps. Is there a motion there?
Well, I'll just move that the Board of Directors adopts the resolution appointing Janet Reiser as the Two Gatches member representative, Lee Hebert as management representative, and Susan Reeves as alternate representative to the RTEC Board of Directors, just to get the discussion started.
Okay, so we need a second to get the discussion going. Is there a second? Second. Okay, discussion.
I just think you should continue because it's a key time and you have a lot of history with it.
Okay. Any other items of discussion on that motion? Harry?
Well, I liked being a part of that too. And I have a fair amount of history with RTEC as well. But
you want to be the alternate? I'm happy to accept a friendly amendment for you to be there.
I would love to be.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else want to feel like they want to participate in a different way than the motion says?
everybody's free to come to those meetings. It doesn't exclude your participation. Just want you to know. But if somebody's got a particular interest, let us know. Okay.
Tag along.
Yeah, I think it's important to know, as in your role as vice chair, to understand. It might get more exciting even. Okay, so we have a motion and a second and a friendly amendment. Did the seconder accept the friendly amendment?
I do.
You do? So now we have a motion on the table. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Moving on to item C.
I move that the Board of Directors approve the resolution authorizing filing with the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, the simplified rate filing described therein.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Bettina got you before you, Harry. Motion and a second. Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. As a week. All right. Moving to item D, discussion on on-site training. This is just a discussion only item. I think the background on this is there was a bylaw. The two items we had in my recollection, and help me if I'm not recalling this correctly, is that we would potentially have a bylaws on-site meeting, and then there was a little bit of confusion, maybe only on my part, about a communication class. I thought we were talking about the one that Jim had talked about, communications outside the boardroom, and Bettina thought that it was maybe a communications class that had to do with internal communications called something else. But I think the general issue we should talk about, and we did talk with APA, they said they were going to be more interested in bringing up NREACA-type courses. So the question for us today is, do we want to sponsor as CHUGACH, or cause to be sponsored through APA, any NREACA-type courses? Kind of in general, and then specifically.
Pretty expensive, $6,000 for one day.
Well, if we all go to one too, it's. You know.
Oh no, I know, but if we, it wouldn't be worth it unless we had a significant number of directors who were actually going to attend. We did this, and then one person attended it. So I also think maybe we would, if we underwrote this, we could use that as part of our dues for APA. I don't know if we have to make this decision today.
I don't think we do, but we haven't in the past brought up specific courses. We've sent people to courses. There was a let's just talk about them individually. There was a bylaws things, which is one that I brought forward, and I believe that we are that not necessarily, my opinion is that not necessarily the board needs to take that class. You can certainly select that class when you go to training, but I think that some of the concerns we have from a corporate standpoint, Lee is already on, and you are already addressing those outside of this group. Is that correctly? So I don't know that we all need to bring somebody up for that full class unless that's your personal preference when you go to training. But what are other thoughts on that? Bettina?
So I have a couple thoughts on the training. I have taken some of the APA courses that when they brought up NREACA instructors, and that seems to be a good forum because then you can kind of get some information from other board members in state, you know, if it's a bit of a networking opportunity. And I thought that approach to that is really good. It helps us not have to send people outside
right.
classes. So if they're willing to bring up some of the basic, you know, things that meet board leadership, a 900 level classes, I think that's a good route.
Okay.
And then specifically this 951.2, the class that I took the last time I was doing training. This one specifically, it's like double the cost of the other one. It's $11,000 because
Ooh.
It's a 0.2, so it's 2 credits. But that this one specifically is a class that you get more benefit out of it if you take it with your other board members and with the staff because it's a communications approach to how the organization handles issues, you know, how the board understands what the staff is presenting. It's how the staff presents so that the board can understand and make the decision. So that's why
that one
would, that one would be something I would think you'd want to do in-house if you were entertaining the idea.
And did we have, and you would include board and staff, like mm-hmm. potentially as a retreat day, if you will. Okay. Other people's thoughts on that? Jen?
Yeah, and I, not only that class, but there will be other issues that we don't see today that may warrant something brought to them, to the organization from the outside. I would like to maintain that availability, that opportunity, that finding.
Okay, and so
it may not be what you were talking about, but something else in the future that may want to bring somebody from the outside to address everybody.
I think we always have that opportunity.
Okay.
I think what we're talking about is in the near future on some specific classes. Okay. Because we can always
get help from this point.
No, that's fine. I mean, we're talking in general. Do we want to do this, or do we want to do it through maybe APA? I think maybe, like you're saying, on general classes, maybe APA is fine, but on the specific class where we're working with staff and the board, something like this, it's good for just us. Is that part of what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Other thoughts?
Well, just to make sure, I'm thinking I understood what you're saying. I think, yeah, if APA is bringing, you know, sponsoring or whatever instructors, that doesn't hurt to take those classes, you know, cheaper and locally to do that. If it's open to us as non-members, I'm not even sure how that works. Maybe it's more expensive for non-members.
I've taken classes since we've been members. I took the fast track actually.
That's right. Members.
They're always looking to get more.
Oh, it's revenue.
Right?
Yeah. But I agree. On that particular one that Bettina was saying, if based on your experience with it, how you think it would help us develop stronger communication, but on like any other NRECA class that maybe around $5,000-$6,000 cost, I would say it's worth kind of exploring if half of us have already taken it at
I guess we rely on each other to bring, like Bettina brought forward this one that she thought would be good for us to take as a group with staff, which is different than just bringing up a class that we could take that we select for our leadership certificate. So I think what we're really doing here is talking about a class that's just us and the benefit of that. And I think that's the only one we've ever really identified as one that would be...
Yeah.
Is it? I can't think of another one that we've ever said we should all take this together.
He opens up the course by saying, just so you know, this is a much better course if you're here with your board and staff, because that's kind of the premise of the class, to teach you
how to talk to each other.
How to talk to each other, how to understand, for the staff to be able to present and, you know, present the language that we can all understand, and it's all about identifying the problem.
Well, okay. So if we were just going to try this,
this would be a good
one to start on.
Yeah,
we'd all get 2 credits, and then I'd be need 6 more.
Well, I think we're talking about specific things. I think certainly AP, if they bring them up, fine, but. So we're talking about, do we want to have a specific bylaws thing for us and staff, and do we want to, and or do we want to do discourse with staff and ourselves? I think we boiled that down to those 2 things. Stuart?
Yeah, from my standpoint, these types of courses, like the one, the 951.2, is a great team building. Staff, board, and you get a ton of value in taking it together. At least I would think so. So I would definitely support something of that type of nature, because it is an expensive course to bring up here, but it has a much wider impact than just going off the side.
Susan?
Well, I really like Bettina's suggestion, and this looks like a great course. I also think we need to do a
bylaws one, because every time we turn around, we're bumping into some question about the bylaws. And then you raised the concerns that were addressed in the class that you took. So I don't want to lose that. And if, you know, I would have no objection to doing two different courses,
right.
But I don't want to drop the bylaws one to do it.
The only thing I was suggesting on that was that staff is picking that up,
yeah.
And has had a review by NRECA guys that say, yeah, some of those concerns that a lot of other co-ops are dealing with aren't as germane to us because we're not structured the same way. So why don't we just decide whether we want to have somebody come up to do the Bettina's class. I guess we'll call it Bettina's class. And then we'll look to see, Lee, where you lead us on the bylaws.
Okay.
And let us know whether you think it's going to be good for us all to have that conversation or whether we can not do that. But what do you guys think about go ahead and asking staff to look at bringing up to do 951.2? Harry's got a thumbs up. Anybody have a thumbs down? Okay, so let's just do by this. Let's take a look at bringing up 951.2 with board and staff.
Is there a preferred time?
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
It's so easy to schedule.
The first day of a strategic
meeting.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
Is this time sensitive, do you think, or is this? Okay.
No, it isn't.
So we could look at doing the first day of the
strategic planning,
you know, in September, if that works.
When we, like say good luck with that, Lee.
Yeah.
You've got a summer coming up. And
the point two, isn't it a day and a half?
It's a day and a half, but you know.
They could probably.
We were out of there by 11 o'clock in the morning.
So I feel like we could make it a day class if we're all there. So let's see if we can do that. And then Susan, you can start counting backwards from 9.
Since you were really trying to promote communication, squashing it into a day is not what you want to do. You want to make want to allow them to exit.
But it's not a full 2 days.
Well, let's leave it to their discretion. But you're right; it's going to be part of if it's part of our strategic planning, we can just kind of incorporate it as we go. So go ahead. So that's out there. We don't need any resolution. We don't need anything to do that, but. There we go. Okay, so that's that, and Lee, you'll let us know what you think on bylaws, whether that requires more general understanding. Bye, Harry. Have a nice trip.
See you.
Okay, so that's that. Anything more on on-site training? I think we also will encourage APA to, bring up classes and let us know when they're here. Okay, annual meeting recap. Wow, we did all that. An annual meeting discussion. Do we need to talk about that anymore?
I think we're good. We will double check the timelines. I mean, we could move the annual meeting to a different night if there were school events, you know, another night. So maybe we'll keep that week open and we'll report back what we find out with
conflict. But don't we have a Denina commitment looming deadline?
We will, but we can get that done here within a week.
Okay. Yeah, let us know as you find out.
You know, we can let you know tomorrow.
Okay, and I don't think any of us think Thursday is the magic night. Whatever night works, that avoids the other conflicts. Unless it
seems like you'd want to avoid the Service High School and Diamond High School
and
South School
and West.
Yeah.
No, East. They do they do a morning graduation and they do an evening graduation all week. That week is the night. You can avoid your service area night.
And isn't East in that part of town in our district too? I want to avoid East as well. But West, that's not us, mostly.
Yeah, just...
Who knows? You never know, because kids go to different high schools. But I think we're just trying to avoid the biggest block.
I have another thought. We're in executive session.
No.
Okay.
Are we ready to do that?
Okay, so go ahead.
Shall we appoint the representative for REAP?
We're going to do that.
Okay. In executive.
We'll probably do that under new business after we have the executive session.
Okay.
So that people can leave, because that's just us talking about who's going to be on what committees. And the APA under F, so any more on item E? Okay, item F. We're basically, there's not a lot more here to discuss except that we're waiting to hear back from them on the issues that we had before. We talked to them about
There's not going to be a change on proportional voting, but what we're looking at potentially is having regions, that regions do the work and weigh in, so that we don't have that people weighing in on a thing that isn't germane to them yet. They get to weigh in on it. So they were looking at a regional thing. There were a couple of other items we talked about.
On that regional thing, I just want to make sure that if they do that, then they have to promote one initiative from each region. Because what happened before, they kind of had the rail belt talking to each other, but then they still spent 100% of their time endorsing things that were.
And I think that's a good point. We did talk about allocation of their resources and how we, you know, kind of our feelings were hurt because we didn't get any attention. We paid out most of the bills and didn't get the attention that some other areas did. And they assured us that that was not the case, that they have undergone some major.
Yeah, they seemed very receptive. But,
right. So there's that one, and there was another piece of that. Anyway, so whoever is going to be the APA liaison can work with them on this, whether or not we. If you don't have to be a member to be the liaison to APA, you certainly can help direct the conversation. So that's going to be something we'll talk about at the end of the evening. But that's all I have under new business. Is there anything more that anybody wants to talk about under new business? Okay, with that, let's have a motion to go into executive session.
I move that pursuant to Alaska Statute 25175C1-2, the Board of Directors go into executive session to discuss financial matters, the immediate knowledge of which will clearly have an adverse effect. Cooperative 2, to discuss personnel matters that intend to prejudice the reputation or character of a person. However, the person may request public discussion.
There's a second.
Second.
All right, any discussion? All in favor of going to executive session, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, hearing none, we're in executive session. We are now out of executive session. Ready to go? And we are on resolution. Item G, is there a motion?
I move that the Board of Directors approve the resolution to close out the pension restoration plan effective.
That's me with. Today.
See, on 24th.
5/24/2017, and essentially the same as discussed in the executive session.
Okay. Motion is second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Hearing none, the motion passes. Item H, adopt 2017 CEO goals and parameters. Is there a motion?
I move that the Board of Directors adopt the 2017 CEO goals and parameters as discussed in executive session of March 10, 2017, special Board of Directors meeting, the April 26, 2017. The regular Board of Directors meeting, as well as the meeting with Lee Beaver on May 20th.
And today.
And on the general board meeting today, May 24th, 27th.
Okay, the motion is there. Second.
Second.
Okay, motion is second. All those in any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none. Motion passes. Item I, approval of 2017 tax services.
I move that the Board of Directors approve the tax services for FY 2017.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. All right, we're going to do quick director comments, and then I would ask the directors to stay around while we sort out our roles. And then we'll adjourn. So let's have director come. What? Did I forget something?
The adoption of regular board of directors. New business meeting. Okay, did we do that?
We did that.
Okay,
we did that one. We've got that, right?
Yes.
Okay, we do have that. Thank you. Okay, so let's go with director's comments. Oh, I don't know. Let's start with.
Well, amazingly, I ran out of gas. I have no car.
Wow. Okay.
Plug in.
All right, CC, you next.
Everybody get her.
Smart aleck, CC.
There you go.
Okay, CC.
CC.
So, yes. I'm sorry I was late. I'm always trying my best to be
your time, but I guess a lot of good discussion, and thanks to staff for everything they presented.
Okay, thank you, Cece. All right, we're going to go Jim Henderson.
Again, thank you for Lee and all the folks. I mean, seriously, if it weren't for you guys, the work product of this board would be phenomenal. And I appreciate it. I seriously mean it, and I like it. I like the evolution of the organization. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see, Director Parks.
So first off, I'm excited. I get to spend 4 years with you guys. I had a little, you know, 4 month primer on this, and
you still ran.
I do see it as exciting, and hopefully, I can, you know, bring value to the board and help out the staff in direction. And I do want to thank you for considering and adjusting the meetings to 4 p.m. It will help. Thanks.
Vice Chair Chastain?
I don't really have any revolutionary comments or anything. Congratulations, and I'm very happy that you're going to be with us for the next 4 years, and I'm very happy that we got your goals and objectives for the 2017 complete.
Thank you, and I have no further comments, so item 11, we're on item 12, which is adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Motion second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. For adjourn. Slam that.